Josiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Josiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is May 12, 2016. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Excuse me. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You know, you can always find updates of breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address, which is at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, email address is over there, too, and you can email me your phone number so I can call you for a prayer request, or you can simply send me your prayer request, and I will take it to the missing church, anoint it with oil, and we will pray over it, and then if you choose so, we will mail it back to you at no cost, obligation, or solicitation to you. It's just up to you. Anyway, pray about it, but that's all you can find. You can find all kinds of things at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which will simulcast live on the net internationally. So please pray about supporting airtime. I sound a little tongue-tied tonight. Well, that's because I'm trying to talk because I think I got a cold coming on and I'm losing my voice. So it's a good thing that I have the guest that I do tonight because he's a really good talker. Anyway, on another note, thanks so much to all our listeners from all over the world, and a special thanks to the couple that dropped in on us this last Tuesday. They live in Florida, but they were visiting in Oklahoma, so they dropped in on us. So, folks, I really appreciate you stopping by and seeing us. And, folks, you people over there in Wichita, we're that close to you. Drop in and see us. See what we're doing, in your city. Excuse me. Now, prayer will bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I just pray that radio goes tonight according to your will and not my will, nor our guest's will, Father. But please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest is Pastor Carl Gallatz. He was on with us just last week, but I brought him back on tonight because there was this topic they sent me that I really wanted to see him talk about. So to set this, kind of to set the record straight on Trump and Christian leaders. So he is a best-selling author. He's a senior pastor since 1978. Talk radio host, heard internationally and nationally, TV and radio guest commentator, former decorated Florida law enforcement officer, founder of PNN Simmons News and Ministry Network, member of the Board of Regents of the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. Carl's written four books, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Story of Yitzhak Kaderi and His Prophecies of the End Time. That's a great book. You really need to get it. The Magic Man in the Sky, Effectively Defending the Christian Faith, Final Warning, and his newest book is Be Thou Prepared, Equipping the Church for Persecution in the Times of Trouble. But he is also writing another book, but we're not going to get that out of him for a few more months. Anyway, let's talk to Pastor Carl Gallatz. Are you there with me, Carl? Are you there with me, Carl? Am I okay? Well, I need an indication from the station if indeed we're making a connection. Well, I'm making a connection, and I can hear the volume, so I wonder what happened to our guest. I guess getting him back on. Okay, well, anyway, there's an article that came out, and it's from WorldNet Daily, and it's called Trump Candidacy Divides Christian Leaders, and this is what we're bringing Carl on to speak about tonight. I don't know what happened, but they're in the process of getting him back on. In fact, indeed, I guess he's on. So I guess you're with me now, Carl.
I am, Pastor Dan, and thanks for having me. Sorry about what happened earlier. I don't know. I just lost you guys.
Okay, well, not a large problem. We got you back, so that's what counts. And speaking of which, I got you back. I just had you on last week.
Yeah.
You know, whoever it is that works for you, they send out all these topics that, you know, say that you're wanting to speak on that week or you will. And I read the article. But what sold me was seeing your picture with those other ministers in a little clip that they sent me, and I said, I got to have him talk about it. Back to you.
I know what you're talking about. You're talking about a couple of nights ago I was featured on Fox News. I think it was the Charles Payne report. And they were talking, I think that our pictures were up there, and I think the caption said Evangelicals for Trump, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was in relation to this tweet that went viral, and all the major mainstream media picked it up, between Donald Trump and the president of the Ethics Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention, Dr. Russell Moore. And Dr. Russell Moore basically had been declaring, and I'm going to have to paraphrase it right now. I don't have the article right in front of me, but I know it well enough to talk about it. He had been declaring that if you voted for Trump, that basically you were a bigot and a racist and a nativist, he said, you know, basically white Americans and
right.
You know, I mean, it was just ridiculous. It was unbelievable, especially for the leader of the largest evangelical denomination in the world, and which, by the way, I'm a part of the Southern Baptist Convention. So it's, anyway, I spoke to that and called him out for the hypocrisy and the duplicitousness that he was espousing. And anyway, we had and then I did an interview with WorldNet Daily and kind of unloaded on the whole thing. So is that what you wanted me to talk about, brother?
I like I say, I was impressed with your picture. You know, it's not that. It's just that, you know, I'm glad to see you know, a man of God such as yourself willing to be able to come out and speak, you know, unbigoted, speak truth, because, you know, I think it's the problem with ministers right now I see in America is not enough of them are speaking and standing up for the truth, and they're just standing up for, if anything, go along with everything else, globalist ideas, and we need to start standing up, and you set a good example, and that's why I wanted you on.
Well,
you.
Thank you, brother. You're so kind. You're so kind. I pray I never let you down in that. I tell you, Pastor Dan, that's the thing that really kind of scares me and concerns me with this Russell Moore fella. I don't know Dr. Moore personally, but I've done a lot of research on him since I, you know, started addressing him. And as a matter of fact, I got a call today that there's a possibility, I don't know, but there's a possibility that some major news media are going to try to line the two of us up for a debate on major television news.
Really?
Yeah, and we'll see. I mean, I'll let you know if it comes off, but it doesn't matter whether it does or not because I've pretty much said my piece. But what I've discovered in researching this guy, he describes himself. He literally describes himself as a communitarian. Now, that's a very unique word, and that is the word that he uses. Now, if you'll look up the word communitarian in Webster's New World Dictionary, it says it has one definition, and this is what it says: a member or advocate of a communist community.
Really?
Yeah. So I mean, that's what New World Dictionary says, Webster's New World Dictionary, about the term communitarian. Now, this guy's got a Ph.D. He's the head of the Ethics Commission. He's 44 years old. You would think before he described himself as a communitarian, he would know what the word means. Now, that's what the dictionary says. In other words, a communist.
Now,
right. When you continue to read his articles, you discover that he is for, basically, he is for open borders and for blanket amnesty. He also belongs to a group called the Evangelical Immigration Table. He actually is one of the heads of the Evangelical Immigration Table. And for your listeners, if they'll do some research on that, they'll discover that that is a byproduct of the National Immigration Forum, which is financed by George Soros.
Wow.
So
I got to ask you this right now. I don't see how Christianity, no matter whether Southern Baptist or any denomination, how is Christianity compatible with communism? I mean,
yeah, I don't think it is either. As a matter of fact, I wrote a little bit about that in my latest book, Be Thou Prepared, when the scripture talks about how the early church had all things in common, and mm-hmm. they sold what they had and gave to the poor as each person had need. And of course, there are people that say, look, that's communism, that's communism. And I take about a chapter and just tear up that idea. It was not communism. As a matter of fact, if you continue to read the context of that, it makes it very clear that they owned private property and they were free to do what they wished with it. They were not forced to sell. It's just they were describing the situation that in the tough, tough times of the early church, most of the early church were Jews. Most of them were being disowned by their family and their community. Most of them were losing their jobs, being disowned by their own people. And so those that had the financial means to help the others began to do so as they desired. And there was no official decree. There was no rule that if you're going to be a part of the church, you had to belong to a communist party. So anyway, I don't want to bore your listeners with my whole answer there. But the bottom line is, no, it's not compatible with biblical Christianity, in my humble opinion, nor with the contextual interpretation of scriptures. But the thing is this: Russell Moore was pontificating, telling Christians, basically, and he didn't use these words, but he basically said, if you're a real Christian, you won't vote for Donald Trump. And he went on to say why. Now, I don't think Donald Trump is the savior of the world, and I'm not Donald Trump's campaign chairman. I know that if it comes down between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders, I'm going to vote for Donald Trump. And I can tell you all the reasons why in a moment. But even though I'm not his campaign chairman, I can say that when he tells us, when Russell Moore is trying to tell the Christian community, apparently he's trying to influence millions of Christians not to vote, which sounds just like something the liberal left would do, sounds just like something George Soros would do, when he tells us that, I went off on him in that article and on radio interviews like yours, and I've done 6 or 7 in the last day or two because of it, and I went off on him and I said, okay, so you told us who not to vote for. Now, tell us, who do we vote for? Because, you see, if we just stay home by the tens of millions, then Hillary Clinton will go in office. And so what you've done is you have put Barack Obama's agenda back in the White House for 4 years, maybe 8 years, and probably on steroids, because she is one mad woman right now. And but she is a globalist. She is a godless, a Christian-hating, Constitution-hating, communist, socialist, whatever you want to call her.
Right.
She's that. So, I mean, she's aligned with the Muslim Brotherhood. Her chief of staff, Uma Abedin, comes right out of the Muslim Brotherhood, out of Saudi Arabia. I mean, you can go on and on and on. So who do we, Mr. Russell Moore, who do we vote for? Because the bottom line, Pastor Dan, is on November the 9th, that morning, either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, unless something weird happens between now and then, one of those is going to be the next commander-in-chief. Who do you want sitting across the table looking at Vladimir Putin or the Ayatollah Khomeini? Do you want Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump? Who do you want commanding your troops? Who do you want guarding your borders? Who do you want dealing with the economy and with the health system and with America's corporations, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton? And those are the choices we have. They're not perfect choices. They're horrible choices, I know, overall, for Christians, but that's it. And for Russell Moore, the head of the, quote, Ethics Commission, to be trashing Donald Trump as just this some hideous person and telling us you shouldn't vote for him, you shouldn't vote for him. Well, what are our options, Mr. Russell Moore? I'm trying to save America and give us some breathing room so we can continue to take the gospel to the world in freedom, brother. Let me hush.
Yeah, amen. Let me say this. These people like Russell Moore with that kind of credentials, that's spooky. These people are in the church, and not only just in the church, you know, he's in a position, you know, ethics committee, you know, so it's like, what view of Christianity does he have? I mean, you know, right now, just look around. Christian rights all over America are being suppressed more and more and more, being kicked out of the schools and every place in public, in every Christian word, and promoting everything that's ungodly. So, you know, this man's not going to, with those kind of credentials and those kind of connections, I don't see him helping the Christian church, but hindering it. So what is this? This is something coming from within. This is dangerous. Back to you.
Well, you know, Pastor Dan, I don't know the man. I hope he will debate me somewhere. I would love to sit down and speak with him personally if possible. I don't hate the man, of course. I try not to hate anybody. I don't know enough about him to dislike him personally. He might be a nice guy to sit down and have a cup of coffee with. But as I'm doing my research, I mean, I would want to ask him. You know, my brother, you claim to be a Southern Baptist, the president of the Ethics Commission. You claim to be the voice of ethics for the most conservative and the largest evangelical denomination in the world. Not that Southern Baptists are perfect. They're not without their problems. But, I mean, here you are. And now you're 44 years old. You have a doctor's degree. You're in this highfalutin position. Yet you belong to these globalist agenda forums financed by some of the most liberal, godless globalists in the world, and now, you know, America has at least an opportunity to perhaps breathe under a Donald Trump presidency. Maybe not. Donald Trump may lie. He may wind up being the worst president we've ever had. But we know what we're going to get in Hillary Clinton, and you're encouraging tens of millions of Christians not to even go to the polls. Now, what kind of ethics is that? So if our nation gets flushed down the toilet under Hillary Clinton completely, then, Russell Moore, you have been a part of that. Now, to show you the blatant hypocrisy that I continue to uncover is that while he's telling us that we shouldn't vote for Donald Trump because he's not a, quote, moral person, he's writing op-eds in the New York Times and the Washington Post, two of the most liberal news rags in the world, telling America's Christians that we should support and honor Barack Obama.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So, well, wait a minute. Now, we might not be able to compare morals too much between Donald Trump and Barack Obama, but we can certainly compare philosophies and so all I know is, look, Pastor Dan, please, I want your audience to know, this is so frustrating to me because in trying to speak some rational, logistical sense of reality and pragmatism, it makes it sound like I am just raising Donald Trump's banner as the savior of America, and I am not. It remains to be seen what he will do.
Right.
All I know is this. He's the one who's saying, I want to make America great again. I want to guard our Constitution. I want to guard the Bill of Rights. I want to guard your Second Amendment rights, your First Amendment rights. I want to seal our borders from this insanity of open borders. I want to make sure that the Muslims coming to our shores are not the ones trying to kill us and that ISIS is shipping over here. I want to take care of this Obamacare debacle and reverse it and bring back good health care in America. I want to bring corporations back to America. I want to bring jobs back. I want to raise the standard of living. I want to give your children and grandchildren a future. I mean, these are the kinds of things he's saying. I want to make America great again. I don't want China running us over. I don't want Russia running us over. I don't want the Muslim Middle East to run us over. These are the kinds of things he's saying. And you've got, who are the people that hate him? The Chinese, the North Koreans, the Muslims, the Mexicans, the illegal immigrants, the communists, the socialists, the leftist liberals of America. Well, that's reason enough for me to vote for him, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, really it comes down to something fairly simple in this sense. We're looking at all these people that are complaining against Trump and the other side, the liberals, and Obama, all of them, they're globalists, you know, and that's what the Antichrist is, globalist, wants one world thing going on here, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And so Trump is talking about not being a globalist, and he's talking about fair trade and those kind of things. He's still a nationalist. So you really have, there isn't much of a choice here in the sense, to me, it's a no-brainer. I'm not going to vote for the globalists that right now have our borders open where you can look on Drudge today and see that we just brought in, I think it was like two or 4,000 Cubans across the border. The farmers complaining about that 40 people at a time are coming across this property where there used to be just two people at a time. There is no border. Either we stop that or we have no country. Carl, why don't you give your website and we'll go to break and come back and talk.
Okay, good. Yeah, thank you. My website is carlgallops.com, carlgallops.com, and my main goal in life is to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I'm just trying to preserve our constitutional republic so you and I can continue to do that in freedom, brother.
Yeah, amen. It's a little easier to do that if we're free.
Yeah,
we'll
it
be
is.
Back. Yeah, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Dan will be right back.
We are back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Man's Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Of course, the homeless are poor, but we're talking about the poor that come from all over the city, suffering from this terrible economy, people who have to work part-time just to keep a roof over their family's head. They'd love to be working full-time and have a regular job, but no, they have to be put down to these part-time jobs because of Obamacare. Well, praise the Father, Obamacare was declared unconstitutional today, but it isn't a done deal yet. So, really, these people need help, and so they come to us. They come looking for food, clothing, first aid, over-the-counter medication, blankets, Bibles, the gospel, and miracle prayers. A blessing has been taken from you folks because it is your job, not the city's job, or the government's job to take care of these people. It is your job. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's your job, and there's a blessing that goes along with that. And so, really, your blessing is being stolen whenever the city does these things. I don't get mad at the city for not doing more, because it isn't the job of the city. It's the job of the body of Messiah. It always has been, always will be. The poor will always be with us until it's your return. And I don't know how I'll hand it in a thousand-year reign. But anyway, so pray about helping us. You know, why do so many people come to us? Because we give them family. We give them relationships. You know, when guidelines stop agencies from helping people, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are the last hope for so many, and we are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And remember, you can call me or email me with a prayer, either one, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. And now we're back talking with Carl Gallup, Pastor Carl Gallup, in fact. Are you there with us, Carl?
I am, Pastor Dan. Thank you.
Yeah, I really do enjoy talking to you. Let's go back to this. Christianity, I mean, just the example you gave of this man and him being in a, you know, to me, that's, he's in a position of power within the Baptist community. That just really kind of scares me in a way.
Yeah, me too. And I say the one safeguard that Southern Baptists have, though, and one thing that I really like about the denomination, and again, remember, I don't like everything about it, and I've gone to task with denominational leaders over the years, so I just want your listeners to know I'm all about Jesus and the Word of God. I don't really hang in there with denominational names too much, but the one thing that I like about the Southern Baptist is that each church is autonomous. In other words, there's not an ecclesiastical body that governs the churches. The churches work cooperatively, independently, to pool their resources and funds. The church that I pastor, for example, we give to what's called the cooperative program. Tens of thousands of dollars a year. We pool it with the other many, many tens of thousands of churches, Southern Baptist churches, and we come up with many tens and tens of millions of dollars that we use for foreign missions and domestic missions. So Russell Moore is appointed by our convention to represent our denomination in matters of ethics, for example. But when he speaks with no authority over my church, for example.
Mm.
I don't have to follow what he says. I don't even have to mention his name from my pulpit. I don't have to, we don't have to do anything that he says or any other decrees from the convention headquarters. So that's the thing. See, the globalist and the New Agers, the One World Agenda pushers, the far left, the people, the Christian haters that are infiltrating our denominations, and going with the gay marriage and the gay preachers and priests and all that stuff, they're having a hard time infiltrating the Southern Baptist denomination because there are so many churches and there's so many millions of members, and each church is autonomous, so they can't infiltrate a headquarters where the headquarters tells Carl Gallup what to do or else I'm fired. They can't do that. So they have to infiltrate all of the tens of thousands of churches and hope they can get Carl Gallup's and Pastor Dan's to turn their heads. Of course, we're not going to. So what I suspect has happened, and I don't know this specifically about Russell Moore, but when I read his background, it makes me think that what these America haters and Christian haters are up to is planting or placing into the highest positions they can find these influence peddlers. You know, people, they might not have authority over Carl Gallup's, but being the president of an entire commission, he'll get on Fox News, he'll be in the New York Times, he'll be in the Washington Post, he'll be on CNN, and he can disseminate this blather out there and potentially impact millions of Christians, you see. So that's, I think that's their agenda. And again, I'm not saying that Russell Moore is directly a part of that. But
let me break in. I want to say something about you. Having said that about Russell Moore or people like him, we don't even have to use him as an example. First off, Carl, I want to tell you, I'm really thankful that you told me that about the Southern Baptist Convention. I would not have known, nor would have a lot of people that are probably listening to this radio program, know that you are together, but I'll call it together, but independent in that sort of manner, and that's a really good thing. Having said that, now, you have people like this gentleman that we're talking about, Russell, him being risen up to be put into these positions of power. Well, you know what? I listened to you, and I've watched you with your books, and I don't want to call it popular, but, you know, you're starting to be called on more and more and more from the media, but you're called for the other side of the story, and I believe that's a calling from God, not a calling of man, but a calling of God, have risen you up all your life for this time to help counteract this. And so I think that you're really walking where you should be, and I also want to caution you to be careful, because you should probably be getting all kinds of attacks for standing up for right now. Anyway, back to you.
Well, Pastor Dan, I can't tell you how encouraging that was to me, everything that you said. Thank you that I was able to shed some light about Southern Baptist and how that denomination works. A lot of people don't know that. Thank you for your words of insight, perhaps even prophecy over me. And listen, if that is what God is up to, if that's his design, his will, I pray I can live up to it, and I pray that I don't disappoint him or you or your listeners, because my heart is right in this, as you know, and we've known each other for years now, and I haven't changed. I mean, hopefully I'm maturing in the Lord, but I don't, you know, shift with the sands of political correctness. I stand on the Word of God. I stand on Jesus Christ and salvation in him alone. And the foundational doctrines of our faith, and I'm not going to be moved. And so if God can use my big old mouth in a time like this, and you know, I was a cop for 10 years before I was a pastor, and I've been a pastor for 30 years, so I've got a lot of life experience under my belt, and if God can use that to stand up in these prophetic, tumultuous times, then praise be to his name, and I hope maybe he can use me to speak a little truth on the other side of the coin, because we are living in prophetic times, brother. We truly are.
Amen.
And,
amen. Let me go with this. You know, while we all, I was talking about this on my other program, but the thing that I really trying to, that the Father put on my heart that's just hit me real big, especially after, you know, there's this girl I've been helping, Carl, and, you know, right now she had lost everything because her purse got stolen at work, lost her job, lost everything, and she is still so very cheerful because she has a personal relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
But, Carl, this girl can hardly even see, and she doesn't have a pair of glasses right now, and she says, I'm not angry about that. Then that way God's leading me around. I can see things through him. And so he's leading me around. But this girl that has nothing and is taking care of her baby has a personal relationship with Yeshua. And it means so much. And it's the relationship that you see so many people just strive to get, because she talks to the Lord. She hears his voice. And he hears from the Lord. And that's what I'm telling people right now. Look beyond the elections and all these other things, and you've got to get to that personal relationship. Do you know what I mean, Carl?
Yes, I do, brother, and that's where the water hits the wheel, isn't it? I mean, that's what it's really all about, because, you know, the Word of God is clear. If we're blessed, we have 70 or 80 years here. You know, we are here to have a relationship with our Creator, and then to advance the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ. We are the advance agents out here that God has put us here. He's raised us up for such a time as this. And so, yes, you're this precious girl that you are referring to, this woman, this mother, She's got it. She gets it. This is what it's about, regardless of our lot in life, regardless of our limitations, and we all have them, regardless of our handicaps. And to one degree or another, we all have a handicap. We do.
Yeah, amen.
Every one of us does, and if we're honest with ourselves. So the point is that we are to make the best with the gifts we have, give them to God, develop our relationship with Jesus Christ, advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and do all we can to shine the light in the darkness, be the salt, sprinkle the salt, never grow weary of doing good, and understand that we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Because Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His kingdom's coming, Pastor Dan, you know that. And
yeah,
so that's why what you do is so important. You're meeting the physical and spiritual needs of people now, but in so doing, you're changing hearts and souls and lives and minds, and so you're preparing the kingdom that is to come. And that's what I'm trying to do. You're using your gifts and your voice. I'm using my gifts and my voice, and that's all we've got, Brother Dan. I mean, if we're blessed to live 70 or 80 years, then great, but I mean, that's about all we get, so we've got work to do, and it comes through our personal relationship with Jesus Christ, first and foremost, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's what it's all about. You know, when all these things are temporal, they're going to go away, but that relationship won't go away. That'll muster in us being with Him for an eternity, and that's what counts, you know? And so we have to put that kingdom first in what He calls us to do. How many people, Carl, do you see that just, you know, they're being called, but they just seem to be ignoring what God's telling them to do, but they could do big things?
I know. I see it all the time, and it's a sad tale. As a pastor, I've been a pastor for 30 years in one church, so I've seen several generations of people come and go and grow up, and people move in and out of the area. People get mad and leave. People get glad and come back. I mean, I've seen it all, 3 decades, and it's a sad thing to watch the calling of God, the anointing of God upon a man or woman or a young man, young woman's life, and them either ignore it or abuse it and crash and burn it. And it's a sad thing. And it happens. It happens. And more often than I would like to see. And I just want to shake them and say, don't you understand? You don't have much time left.
Right.
Don't squander what you have. Use it for the glory of God. But anyway.
Right. Well, amen. Even if we can sit here and give signs and talk about your books and all the things that are pointing to the time of the end and that Yeshua is going to return soon, but you know, in reality, really, that stuff in a sense doesn't matter, because we could walk out this door and get run over by a bus. We could get struck down with cancer. So no matter what, it's immediate that we need to get right and follow that relationship, because, you know, the things of this world really mean nothing, you know, and riches, all that, I could care less about any of that. But I get that peace, that love, you know, that peace that I can sleep in the night, that peace that I have with self, and that only comes, that shalom, that's what shalom means, His perfect peace. I only get that perfect peace from my communication with Him. Back to you.
No, you're right, brother. That's good preaching. That's good teaching right there. And that's true, because, like you said, you walk out the door and fall down of a heart attack, or get in your car and get hit by a truck at the next stop sign. I mean, that's right. So really, all that matters, number one, is our personal relationship with Christ right now, settle it. I mean, if you're listening tonight and you've never called upon Yeshua HaMashiach to save you, to if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, I urge you, by Romans 10:9, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, and you shall be saved. That's the thing you got to get squared away. And then after that, you know, we don't know what tomorrow holds. So each day, do your best to use it to bring glory to God. Use it to say a good word for the word of God, for the name of God, for the name of Jesus Christ. Let your life make a difference for the kingdom of God. Now, if you're blessed, as Pastor Dan and I have been, to have been given many decades of life so far, then invest that and invest each day for using the biggest voice and the biggest platform that, that God can give you to reach as many as possible. And that's what Pastor Dan is doing. That's what I'm doing. And I know so many of your listeners are doing the same thing, Pastor Dan. And today, man, with social media and internet and cell phones and Facebook and YouTube and all the different ways, websites and blogs, I mean, man, the, quote, average member in a pew today can reach 10 times more people than the average pastor of just a couple of decades ago, just from their own living room.
Yeah, absolutely. We have the world at our fingertips, so to speak. And so why wouldn't we use that? We should use that to share the love and the joy. And I just can't explain it. You know, it's that personal feeling, that thing that you have. And you need to, man, I just want to share it with everybody. I want everybody to have that. That's what I want them to have. I don't, like I said, I don't care about the riches and all that, but I want them to have that personal feeling that I experience. And I don't care whether you believe that you're pre-trib, post-trib, or, you know, what you believe like that. I want you to believe in salvation. I want you to believe that Yeshua died for your sins and that you don't have to carry those bag of rocks around the rest of your life. Get rid of them. Man, get rid of him and accept to him and let him take that burden from you and walk forward, man. Walk forward.
Absolutely. So very good. And may I take just a moment and kind of give a little bit more perspective on what we're facing in November and how that ties into what you and I have just been saying?
Well, I'd love for you to. You got about 7 minutes, in fact.
Okay, well, let me do this quickly. Folks, listen, please hear me. I'm not going to tell you how to vote. I didn't come on here to campaign for anybody, and I'm not Donald Trump's campaign chairman. I'm not. I'm just a pragmatist. And listen, I love the Lord. I'm advancing his kingdom. I thank God for the United States of America, the freedoms it's given me, my children, my grandchildren. I want them to have the same. For the church, for my ability to preach every Sunday, and I don't get my head cut off, and I don't get thrown in jail yet for it. And I'm trying to preserve that. God's given us a gift, and in order to preserve it, we have to be engaged. We've got to be the salt. We've got to be the light. We can't sit around and soothe our conscience and say, well, you know, there's no perfect candidate out there that could be my preacher or my Sunday school teacher. They're all a bunch of godless idiots, so I'm just not going to vote. I just, my conscience won't let me vote. Well, on November the 9th, you're going to wake up, and either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump's going to be your president and commander-in-chief. What's your conscience going to say if Hillary Clinton is it and continues the Obama apostasy? What's your conscience going to say then? And you say, well, Donald Trump's not much better. Well, we don't know. We know where Hillary Clinton stands. We know what Donald Trump's telling us. I don't place my salvation in Donald Trump. I don't think he's the savior of America. I'm just saying I have a responsibility to do something and to be involved, to be engaged. It's like this. This is the best illustration I can think of right now. Brother Dan, let's say you've been away on vacation for a month. You come home. You go into your basement, and you're horrified. It's filled with rats and raccoons. Somehow they've gotten in your house. It's filled with fleas and lice and nastiness and disease. And so you shut the door, and you're horrified. You say, oh, my gosh. You get on the phone. You start calling exterminators, and there's only one guy within a 500-mile radius who's trained and equipped to deal with an infestation of rats and raccoons in your basement. You got to get rid of them, or your house is going to be condemned. You're going to be dead before long. So you call the guy over. He starts work. He starts smoking a cigarette and starts using some language you don't normally like. Are you going to say, you know what? Just go ahead and I'm going to put you out of here because you're not qualified to be my preacher or my Sunday school teacher. No, you want him to exterminate the rats and the raccoons.
Right.
That's what you hired him for. Put him in your basement. Let him do his job and pray for him. Maybe give witness to him and then send him on his way. You know, and that's life. I mean, not everybody walking around has got the temperament of a preacher and a Sunday school teacher in a relationship with Jesus. We've got two choices to make in this thing. And Donald Trump says he's going to go into the basement and exterminate the rats and the raccoons.
Yeah.
So I know he's not a perfect guy, but neither was Ronald Reagan. Neither was Bill Clinton or George Bush or Jimmy Carter or any of the other presidents in our lifetime. But somebody is going to be president. And for the Christian to sit home and say, well, I'm just not going to get involved, well, then you will be responsible for putting Hillary Clinton in office. That's all I got to say about it, Brother Dan.
Well, amen. And but you hit it right on the head. That's the problem that I think that the country has been having for a very long time, is that Christians have decided, instead of using that kind of logic, they're going, well, I can't vote for the guy that, you know, might make things better because he's not, you know, like you say, your pastor or really, you know, a really good guy. But he could have did the job. But they won't get up and vote for him because of that. So they stay at home. And therefore, they withdraw themselves from it. And by withdrawing themselves, they actually help the other side.
Yeah.
What's that saying about good and evil? If a good man does nothing, then evil wins or something like that?
No, that's correct. That's the only thing it takes for evil to advance is for good men to do nothing. And, you know, it's the same Christians who are saying, well, I can't vote for Donald Trump because he's not a godly man. Well, who do you work for? Is your boss? Is your employer? Are they all godly people? Do you teach school? Is everybody in the public school system? Are they all godly people? I mean, do you work at Walmart? Are all the people there godly? Are they? You know, I mean, come on. We live in the world. We don't have to be of it, but we're in the world. We have choices to make about relationships and bosses and employment and presidents and commanders in chief. And we better shine the light, Pastor Dan, or the light's going to go out and it's going to go dark in America quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know what America would look like after even one term of Hillary Clinton. I just don't, because look, there's a Supreme Court justice to put in.
Yes.
If they put a liberal Supreme Court justice, what will that bring?
Yes. Well, we've got Obamacare to deal with. We've got a liberal Supreme Court justice. We've got borders to deal with. We've got ISIS infiltrating our country. We've got foreign countries that hate our guts, and nuclear proliferation and the extinction, extermination of Christianity in the Middle East, and Israel being hated and surrounded on all sides. We've got some problems, and you've got folks have to decide, do you want Donald Trump looking in the face of these people, or do you want Hillary Clinton? And then make your choice. You know, I mean, it's obvious who I'm going to vote for right now, but, I'm not commanding that anybody else do it, but I'm just saying, Christians, don't sit home and say that, well, nobody's out there qualified to be my preacher, so I'm not going to vote for him. Well, we're not voting for a preacher. We're voting for the commander-in-chief.
Yeah, amen. Maybe at one time when I was real young, they might have seemed like a preacher, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because when I was young, they didn't use vulgarities. And, you know, if you caught a politician really lying, you know what I mean, it was a scandal. I mean, but that's all washed away. We have what we have. And we need to vote. That's the short and long with it. But anyway, Carl, thanks for coming back on with me again tonight. Why don't you tell the people where they can find your books and everything and your website, I guess.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Well, my website is carlgallops.com, and it's a clearinghouse website for everything that I do. So that's the easiest place. But you can also go on over to Amazon, just stick my name in the search engine and ask to see my author's page. And that just has a ton of stuff about me and my ministry and the books. But I'm a pastor, former law enforcement officer, a radio host, do TV and radio commentary and print media commentary. I've authored several best-selling books that are helpful to the Christian world. And so anyway, I'm just trying to advance the kingdom and preserve our constitutional republic so our children can have some freedom, brother.
Well, amen. And folks, I think get the last book that he wrote, which is called Be Thou Prepared, because it's a must read for this time. Well, Carl, thanks for being on with me. I really enjoyed having you, and you be blessed, brother.
Thank you.
Shalom.
You as well. Yeah. God bless you. Shalom.
All right. Well, folks, that's Pastor Carl Gallops. And, you know, I like the guy, and, you know, I'm not a Southern Baptist, of course, and you aren't either, but you know, I do believe that, you know, while that he is doing a work. I mean, he exposed this man on our radio program, and he's talked about him in other places. And these are the kind of people that are infiltrating the church. We need people to point that out, because had they not pointed out, how would you know? I mean, it's just that simple. We need those kind of people. Carl's one of those kind of people. I don't agree with Carl on a lot of things. I don't, but that doesn't mean that I can't come together with him under Messiah and talk and do some things and point you towards one thing. And that one thing is Yeshua HaMashiach. You need to have him accepted in your life. You need to let him rule your life. How can you call him Lord, Lord, if you don't do the things that he says? You must do that. Well, folks, I also got to ask, we really do need your help at the Wichita Mission Church. Pray about a donation when you hear this program. If anything was useful to you, if you don't want to donate to the poor and the homeless, donate to radio. You must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. How can you not, if you're saved, how can you not be a blessing to others? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses you and keeps you, and his face shines upon you and is gracious to you and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.